Okay, today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, and anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Amen. 日本語でマタイの福音書6章16節から18節をお読みします。断食するときには、偽善者たちのようにやすれた顔つきをしてはいけません。彼らは断食していることが人に見えるようにとその顔をやつすのです。まことにあなた方に告げます。彼らはすでに自分の報いを受け取っているのです。しかしあなたが断食するときには自分の頭に油を塗り顔を洗いなさい。それは断食していることが人には見られないで隠れたところにおられるあなたの父に見られるためです。そうすれば隠れたところで見ておられるあなたの父が報いてくださいます。
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning and just your blessing, which are new every morning.Your mercies are new every morning, Lord, and we just want to receive that in our lives. We do pray a blessing over Hiro and Aika, Lord, as they're at the Equippers Conference. Bless them mightily, Lord. Speak to them. We pray, God, that you would just meet them there, Lord Jesus, and all the young students that are there. We pray your blessing over this place and we study your word, Father, we ask that you would just strengthen our inner person, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, to walk in your ways, to walk in all the blessings you have for us, to walk in the fullness of life that you have promised us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. How's everyone doing? You guys ready for 2014? Wow, amazing. You guys do resolutions? No? Any resolution people? Well, bless your resolutions. Hopefully 2014, you will meet your resolutions. I don't do resolutions, if you're wondering. I never did, I don't think. If I ever did, I never completed them. So anyways, if you have resolutions and you want me to pray for them, let me know and I'll faithfully pray for them, and you let me know how you're doing in those, okay? Today, we're talking about fasting. And I want to talk about fasting because in the new year, as a corporate body here at JCCT, I want to call a corporate fast. Now, don't get scared. I want to call a corporate fast, and it doesn't have to be an intense fast. But I do want to just start you to, I do want to ask you to start asking yourself and asking God, Lord, do you want me to fast something? And it's a 21-day fast. And during those 21 days, I want you to consider giving something up. Perhaps giving up something as small as giving up drinking soda in the morning or soda throughout the day or even as intense as giving up eating meat for 21 days. Now I'm going to talk about different kinds of fast, but I want you to consider that. I mean, you know, if I want to hit somebody hard, it's like giving up watching football for 21 days. Oh yeah, see, the bowl season coming up and all of that good stuff. But It will start Monday, the 6th, the first Monday after the first Sunday, and we want to do a 21-day fast, and it will end on the Sunday. If I have my math right. Anyways, if you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to talk about fasting, and talk about what the Bible teaches about fasting. Hopefully that will encourage you to consider giving something up for 21 days. But in chapter 6, and most of you know that Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of his great teaching called the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount. And he continues in chapter 6 with this. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness." Now, from this one sentence, we could get a couple of things. One of those things is, from chapter 6, he's going to talk about acts of righteousness. And if you look at it, he has at least three concrete acts of righteousness. One is giving. Wayne beautifully talked about giving. One is praying, and the other is fasting. If you notice that, let's look at that. In verse 2 it says, "When you give to the needy," that's an act of righteousness. Verse 2 it starts, "When you give to the needy." Verse 5, if you go down to verse 5, it says, "When you pray," that's another act of righteousness. When you pray. And another act of righteousness, if you go down to 16, "When you fast." Three similar phrases, when you do something. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. And so I want to say that righteousness is not simply preventative. It's not simply not doing something wrong. But it's proactive as well. Kind of like sins, right? There's sins of omission and there's sins of commission. And same thing as righteousness. There's righteousness where you don't do certain things, and there's righteousness where you do certain things. And Jesus here interestingly puts fasting as one of those acts of righteousness. It's as righteous as praying, or it's as righteous as giving. Now imagine a Christian that never gave. That never gave to the church, that never gave to the poor, that never gave to his friends. You would say, well, that Christian has a lot of growing to do. Or imagine a Christian that never prayed. Never prayed before a meal, never prayed for their friends, never prayed for anything. Now you would say, well, that Christian has a lot of growing to do if he never prays. Or if he never gave. Now, we never say, though, imagine a Christian that never fasted, do we? I mean, that's one of those things you never say. But I want to say, imagine a Christian that never fasted. Well, just like giving and praying, I would say a Christian that never fasted has a lot of growing to do as well then. Because Jesus puts it in the same breath as giving and as praying. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. When you practice these acts of righteousness, he says, be careful not to do it in front of others. But he says, when you practice these acts of righteousness. Now, of course, a lot of you know that I love basketball. Growing up, I played basketball. In high school, I was fortunate enough to get on the basketball team. Do you guys want to know how I got on? It's a little bit of a rabbit trail. Okay, I'll tell you guys. It's kind of interesting. Well, I tried out for the team, and I got cut. I played for, they call it a BC team. It's a equivalent to like a freshman sophomore team. But my freshman sophomore, well, I tried out for JV, which is junior varsity, and I got cut. And then my BC coach talked to the varsity coach, and then he let me back on the team. And then on the team, while playing junior varsity, halfway in my junior year, I got bumped up to varsity, and I started playing varsity. It was a blessing that I made the team. Honestly, I don't know what my life would be without basketball. Because at that time, I didn't have Jesus. And I probably would have gotten in a lot of trouble. So that was a blessing from God. But I got on the team. My point is, on the basketball team, we would always practice, right? Like, just like any other sports, you would always practice. And sometimes during practice, we would mess around and practice shots that we would never take in a real game. And the coach would say, hey, don't practice that. The coach, by the way, was a Japanese American. His name was Coach Shimizu. I forgot what his first name is. And so some people thought I got on the team because I was Japanese. because I was the only Asian person on the team. And frankly, our school was like 10% Asian. But anyways, Coach Shimizu would be like, would always say, don't practice that shot. You're not going to play it. And he always says, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. He would always say that. And so I would remember those lines that my coach would tell me. And so I just practice shots that I'll take in a real game. Jesus here is talking about practicing righteousness. And just like practicing basketball, practicing guitar, practicing whatever you like to practice, you will never get better unless you start doing it. And when you start doing it, you're not going to be good at first. Just like I wasn't good at shooting a basketball at first. But I practiced, and now I'm pretty decent. You'll never get good at giving unless you start practicing it. Amen. Practice small. You don't have to be the greatest giver in the world the first time you give. It could be as small as a couple of bucks. When you start praying, try small. You're not going to be a great prayer when you first start. Don't expect to go 3 hours when you first start praying. It'll probably be more like a minute. Then you're going to be like, man, I prayed for everything I know how to pray, and it's only been like 1 minute. But practice it. And as you practice, you'll get better. And when you start fasting, don't commit to fasting, you know, everything, all at once. Because if it's your first time fasting, I want you to say you're not going to be very good at it. And actually, you might mess up a couple of times. Mess up meaning if you start saying, oh, I'm going to fast meat for 21 days. All of a sudden, on the 10th day, your company has, for some reason, an outdoor barbecue with the best tri-tips and ribs and pork ribs and all that other good stuff. And you might just simply mess up, okay? Don't worry about it. You're gonna mess up. But all I'm saying is practice your acts of righteousness, and it needs to be practiced small and allowed to grow in your life. But it needs to be practiced. Just in terms of a basketball analogy, I was watching a commercial, and Blake Griffin is talking about his coach, and he said, one of the things my coach said to me was, I need to love the process. In terms of practice, I need to love the process. Because a lot of times, the end result is what we're shooting for, right? We're shooting for becoming the best basketball player, or we're shooting to be the best golf player or the best musician. That's not going to happen unless you love the process of practicing. You're not going to be a righteous person without loving the process. And what I mean by loving the process in this term is, you know, struggling when you're praying. Love that process. Or struggling to give. I know sometimes for some of us it's hard to give. Or in what I'm talking about today, struggling when you're fasting. It's going to be a struggle, but love that process, because in the end, when it's quote unquote game time, you will see a righteousness there that was not there if you did not go through the process. And Jesus here is talking about becoming a righteous person. If you look at the verse right before chapter 6, it says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. His working in us a perfection, a perfect righteousness. that is a process. But I want you to love the process. And I want to talk about one more, in Matthew 6:1, it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Just like any practice, you know, you practice free throws, the reward is when it's game time and when it counts, you'll make your free throws. And that's your reward. Jesus here is saying righteousness, although, you know, some may say it's an end in itself, Jesus doesn't necessarily say that, does he? He says you will have no reward if people see you, implying, and he says it later, your God in heaven, your Father in heaven will reward you if you do it the right way. He will reward you. You know, Jewish people, when they fasted, when they gave, when they prayed, they were looking for a reward. And Jesus did not rebuke that. He didn't say, hey, you know, you guys should pray just because it's the right thing to do. Or he says, hey, you guys should fast because that's the right thing to do. No, he said, here, I'm going to show you how to get your full reward when you fast. Or your full reward when you pray. Or your full reward when you give. Because he wanted us to receive our full reward. And there is a reward when you fast. It's not just an act of obedience. And it's not something God gives us so that we could be miserable. He doesn't tell us to pray because for, I don't know, the couple of minutes or couple of hours you pray, you will be miserable for those hours. No, he wants you to pray because after those couple of minutes or couple of hours, there is a reward in it. He wants you to fast, not so that you will be hungry or deprived for a couple of days. No, he wants you to fast because after those couple of days or whatever you commit to fast, you will be rewarded. And let me tell you, when God rewards somebody, he rewards somebody. And so God is here telling us these acts of righteousness, to practice them, to be proactive at it, and also that we should be expecting a reward. Amen. And in verse 16 it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Again, fasting is a righteous act that is expected, just like giving, just like praying. And so what I'm saying is fasting is for everyone. It's not just for pastors. Or it's not just for super Christians. It's for you and I. Just like praying is for you and I. Just like giving is for you and I. And it's, I'm going to say this. And I got to be honest. I don't practice it as often. But fasting, apparently, is supposed to be practiced regularly. Just like giving and praying. I remember once when I was at my other church, I was going to talk about fasting, and one of the elders there, he asked me, so Aki, do you fast? I'm like, I've fasted before. I didn't understand his question. I'm like, yeah, I've fasted before. And then he's like, no, do you fast? I'm like, yeah, I've done it before. And apparently he was wondering and he was asking me if I do it on a regular basis. Because he was like, and then he told me, yeah, I used to fast every Friday or something like that. I'm like, what? I didn't know people did that kind of stuff. Anyone regularly fast? Oh, yeah, you'll lose your reward if you raise your hand. So, yeah, so good thing you didn't. That was a trick question. No, but, you know, it's a joke, but, you know, if you're fasting and somebody finds out, don't worry, you're not going to lose your reward, okay? It's when you're openly, I can't even talk right now, but it's when you do it to be seen by others, that's when you lose your reward. But Jesus isn't saying it has to be completely secret, and if somebody ever finds out, you're not going to get your reward. He's not saying that. But, yeah, so fasting, apparently is expected, and expected perhaps regularly. Not religiously, but regularly. But I'm not going to start saying, okay, as JCCT, we need to fast at least once a week. Don't worry, I'm not going to go there yet. But I mean, if God convicts you, go with it. But the Jewish people, apparently they fasted once a week. Biblically, though, it was once a year that was a scriptural fast from God. And it was on the Day of Atonement called Yom Kippur. Somewhere in October, I believe, is Yom Kippur. And that was the day when they all fasted. But for us, as JCCT, and I've seen other churches do it, and that's where I got it from, but a lot of churches, they seem to use the New Year as a time of fasting. And they use the New Year because it sets the tone for the rest of the year. And that's why this 2014, this coming New Year, I want to call a corporate fast. Now again, you decide in your heart what it is that you will give up and commit it unto the Lord for 21 days and expect a reward too. And usually rewards goes this way. The greater the sacrifice, the bigger the reward. Just like Wayne read, if we sow generously, we will reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But you will always reap something. You'll always reap something. And so as you fast, as you consider fasting, we're doing a 21-day fast. And it's, again, in Matthew 9:15, it says, "The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast." And I just want to say that usually fasting, although should be a regular regular practice, it should be practiced when there is cause for some distress. That's why his teaching, when he taught on fasting, he said, don't look somber or don't look distressed. Because usually it was in time of distress people fasted. Scripturally, it was done to avert crisis. If you remember Esther, the story of Esther, she called for a 3-day fast. And that was when the Jewish people were on the brink of annihilation, a 3-day fast. I believe they fasted, they didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. It was an intense 3-day fast. And after those 3 days, the Jewish people were saved. There was other fasts throughout the Bible. One of the more famous fasts is Jonah, the story of Jonah. He goes to Nineveh to proclaim judgment and destruction on the people of Nineveh. And this was from the Lord. The Lord said, go and prophesy to Nineveh that they will be destroyed and overturned in 3 days. Interestingly, Nineveh, they repented and fasted, put on sackcloth and ashes. And God, it doesn't say this a lot about God, but God decided not to bring destruction on Nineveh because of that. They changed their heart. They fasted. There are numerous passages on fasting. As you know, Jesus, before he goes into ministry, does a 40-day fast. The reason why we're doing a 21-day fast is Daniel, when he received a disturbing vision, and he fasted 21 days. When God sent his answer, the angel said to Daniel, "The moment you started fasting, I was sent to. I'll give you an answer. The moment you started fasting, I was sent to give you an answer." Just to give you a little background on Daniel's fast, he said he did not eat any delicacies. But all he ate was pulse. He called it pulse. And pulse is, I believe, anything that grows from the ground. Sort of like wheats and vegetables. He did it's called a Daniel fast. And there are several different types of fast that we can practice. And throughout the Bible, there are fasts that have been called, that have been done. And all of them, you never see in the Bible somebody fasted. Actually, the Holy Spirit just gave me one. One time in the Bible, somebody fasted and nothing happened. One time in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you. You guys can look it up yourself. But one time, well, I'll tell you, because then you're going to be like, well, maybe I might fast and nothing might happen. Well, that one time when nothing happened was when David cheated on, or David had an affair with Bathsheba. And one of the judgments upon David and his household was that the baby that was conceived when he cheated was going to die. And David fasted. And sure enough, Bathsheba had a miscarriage, and David's prayers did not go answered. That's the only time the fast didn't work. But every other time in the Bible, the fast was powerful, effective, and it was rewarded in some way or another. Even outside of Bibles, you see it happening. If you know the story of Mahatma Gandhi, he fasted. And he was able to bring break the yoke of bondage over his people through fasting. Less impressive story about fasting, but nonetheless, one that encourages me. I remember sort of like in 2000-something, USC basketball. You know, it was March Madness. That's the big basketball tournament for college basketball. And I remember watching, and USC's coach challenged his players to give something up, sort of a fast. It wasn't even a Christian fast. It was like, I want you to sacrifice something. And every game, the players, they sacrifice something. And even though they weren't a good team and they weren't projected to go far in the tournament, every game they won. And the coach actually talked about their sacrifice as a reason why they were winning. And so I want to challenge you, as a new year comes, is there something in your life that needs breakthrough? Because some things in life will only come through the practice of fasting. In Matthew 17:21, Jesus says, this type can only come out through prayer and fasting. Now some scholars say that fasting, last part, was added on later. Nonetheless, if it was added on, I believe it's pretty important. Some things will only break off of your life through prayer and fasting. You know, whether it's as serious as a family member becoming saved, or as silly as going far in a basketball tournament or a football tournament, whatever you guys play, I want to encourage you, there is a reward in it, in fasting. In a sacrifice worthy for the Lord. Now, I've heard several types of fasts. I talked about the Daniel fast, where you're giving up meats and sweets, that's easier. Or a media fast, where you give up watching television. I've done that. Man, so for Christians, you know, usually we fast during Lent, right? Yeah, that's a normal Christian thing to do. I didn't know that, but I think 2 years in a row during Lent, I decided to fast television. Unknowingly, Lent falls during March Madness. And I love March Madness.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I decided to fast television. And then, you know, I did that and I was pretty faithful to my fast and I didn't watch any March Madness, any basketball. Killed me. I don't remember my reward. I'm sure I was rewarded one way or another. But I remember, this is again a bunny trail, but then I remember several years after I stopped doing that, we were doing another fast at another church during Lent. And then some of the girls were fasting from sweets for Lent. And I knew that because I think it was shared. And then it was Sunday, and then one of the girls that was fasting from sweet was eating something sweet. And I'm like, hey, I thought you gave that up for Lent. And she's like, you're silly. During Sundays, you could break that fast. You could break the fast. I'm like, what? And yeah, I didn't know that. This is not a Lent fast, though, okay? I didn't know that, and I remember there were some games on Sundays during March Madness I really wanted to watch, and I was like, what? And I thought to myself, I could have watched those games. Anyways, the fast I'm calling, though, is a 21-day fast, no breaks in between. And we're supposed to pray while we fast. And so next week we'll bring a list of prayers. And if there are things you want us to pray for during this fast, I want you to tell me or email me or just tell me. Hey, can you pray for my finances? Can you pray for my relationships? Can you pray for my job or my lack of job? Can you pray for these things? And for 21 days, in January, we're going to pray and fast. And we're going to see breakthrough. Because God says in His Word, He will reward those who fast. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much, Jesus, that in Your teachings, You would teach us how to be rewarded by God. That You desire us to be rewarded and receive our full reward. We do pray, Father, that our motivation would be to be rewarded by You and not by people around us. But Father, that we would keep our eyes on You. And Lord, that Your presence, Your nearness, Your grace, Lord, is more than enough. But in Your goodness, You desire to give us more. We thank You so much, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshipped. We bless Your holy name, and as we come to a close this year, we pray that we would walk in a worthy manner, Lord, before You, in faith, obedience, and love. We thank You so much that You are our hope, Jesus. And Lord, I do ask that You would speak to each and every one of us individually what You would like for us to sacrifice for 21 days to see breakthrough in our lives. And we do pray for breakthrough, Lord. We thank You so much, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.